And so if we go to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, and the Bible says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if you ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I love this passage because it reminds me of one of the greatest moments between my own father and I. It took me back while I was reading that today, this morning, and I was in the streets and I was hustling, and I was doing rather well for myself, and I got this bright idea. I knew that my dad was major in the drug game. I knew that he was major in the dope game. When I say major, I'm not talking about he was doing all right. I mean, he was major. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to give my dad a call to see if he would either be my connect, which means if he would sell me my product, or if he would, because I know that he'd give it to me cheaper, or if he would just give me his connect, which was in Miami, and let me deal with him myself. Now, there's some importance to this story, and I need all the fathers in here to catch. Another thought that was in my mind was when he hears about the money that I'm trying to spend, my dad is going to be so proud of me. He's going to be proud of the fact that I'm a chip off the old block, that the apple didn't fall far from the tree, that his bloodline and firstborn is out here getting it like him. Man, he's going to be proud. And not only will he be proud, shoot, with this amount of money, he's going to be impressed. See, fathers, especially you fathers that may have a past life in the game, we have to know that while our sons are growing up, they don't want to be like Mike, Kobe, or Bron. They don't want to be like Jay-Z, Master P, or any other famous celebrity. No, baby. Their first desire is to be like you. Their first desire is to get your approval. And if you had to grow up like I did with your dad really not in your life, then oftentimes you grow up angry and ready to prove that you're going to be nothing like him and that you're going to be a winner despite not having him. That's a whole other trap that I don't have time to get into today. I have a son sitting in prison as I speak, and it's not because he was raised wrong. His mother and I showed him the right things. We worked together trying to avoid this present situation. But one thing he was always chasing without even knowing that he was chasing it, he was chasing who I was or who he had heard I was. Now, here I am, this grown man with more money than I ever dreamed I would have. Women all over the city and this state, paying bills in several places, dressing nice, driving good, living well. And yet, when it comes to my dad, I'm still this boy waiting on the porch, hoping that he's really going to show up this time. Trying to figure out what I did that was so wrong that would make him not want to be with me. Desperate to prove to him that I was someone he could be proud of. Fathers, be sure to let your children, especially your sons, know that you love them, that they are enough. Validate them, because if not, they will try to validate themselves for you. And in trying to do so, it could very well cost them everything. So I call my dad and I tell him my idea, I tell him my idea, and he doesn't waste a second in thinking about it. He says, he's got this cold voice. He got this cold voice. He says, Stephen. And this is my greatest dad son moment with him. He says, Stephen, if I know that the snake is going to bite you, whether it bites you immediately or it bites you a little ways down the road, why would I hand who I love a snake? And then he simply hung up the phone. Greatest dad moment in my life. At that moment, it wasn't. I'm on some, you old hypocrite. How you gonna try to, you ain't never been here for me. You could give me the plug. You could be, But now I sat back, and I actually called him one day, and I said, thank you. Because had he given me what it was that I was asking for, it would have been so crazy that I'd either be dead today or in a penitentiary that I would never get out of. I want you to understand. Lord, have mercy. What is it that you need for Christmas? What's on your list? We all need various things to get by in life, and what we find ourselves so often needing is strength. Anybody in here need strength today? Strength to face the strains of life, strength to go on, power to overcome sin, power to change and be effective for the Lord. Is it anybody in here just real enough to say, I deal with some sin issues? Is anybody will tell that? I deal with some sin issues. And wouldn't it be amazing to be able to overcome the sin issues that seem to continuously overcome you? And if you're anything like me, you pick up your Bible and it seems like everywhere in the Bible, the men and women are living with this supernatural power. And you ask, how do I experience this in my life? And if you're asking that question, if you want more than just look at the map, if you want to live in its reality, you're not alone. And we can. You can. We can. The disciples saw this power in Jesus' life, and they were asking that very question. They thought maybe the secret is in Jesus' prayer life. And so at the beginning of this chapter, they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he does. And prayer is a part of it. But at the end of his teaching, Jesus gets right to the source and says, what you really need is the power of the Holy Spirit. All throughout the New Testament, we learn that this was the secret to Jesus' effectiveness and power in his humanity. Jesus needed to depend on the Holy Spirit, as shall we. You want to know how you stop sinning and you ain't been able to stop sinning? Begin to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. I love what one of my friends, Pastor Norris Rice, said one day. It was his first time ever preaching at Grove Temple, first time preaching ever. And he said he gave the coldest definition of being able to walk in the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Spirit, he said of having the Holy Spirit. He said having the Holy Spirit is simply being able to walk in this sin-filled world and not sin with it. Powerful. Blew my mind. Listen, I know because some of you have been struggling with what it is that you've been struggling with for so long. You do not believe that you can get victory over it. But at the same time, I want to say you have truly not given the Holy Spirit a try. You've given church a try. You've given Pastor Lyons a try. You've given the people who come to church a try. But you have not given the Holy Spirit a try. And let me tell you how you know that you haven't given the Holy Spirit a try. You can't give the Holy Spirit. You can't say that you've given the Holy Spirit a try still trying to run your life. You can't say that you've given the Holy Spirit a try still trying to do you. Do what's pleasing to you. When we say seek ye first the kingdom of God, then we're talking about his rule in your life. And there can't be two rulers of one kingdom. There can't be two rulers of one person. So you have to make a decision, and a decision right now. Who's going to rule your life? God or you? And how many of you in here are real enough to say, I've been trying to rule my life? I got a question for you. How's it been working out? This was the secret to his power. The Holy Spirit. What he wanted the disciples to know, what he wanted us to know, is that the same gift of the Spirit is available to everybody in this room. You should have lost your mind right there. Hold on. You just said that you've been dealing with sin all your life or for a very long time that you've not been able to overcome. And I tell you what it is. And then I say, and guess what? You could have it too. You should have. Why? You like the mess you in? You like the sin you can't get over? See, here is the problem with cute Christianity. Cute Christianity, they don't let you shout when you're supposed to. Cute Christianity, let me tell you something. On the strength of how good God is, you women ought to come in here every Sunday and sweat your perm out. You men ought to leave here with a new fragrance called sweat. Every time you leave church, you should walk up out of here needing a shower because you done lost your mind because you done heard the word. You done heard a word for you all the day long. And every time you heard a word, you knew that God was giving you that word personally and on the strength that he was loving you even right now where you are with what you went to. Oh. Let somebody tell you, you're going to get some overtime. Won't he do it? Let somebody give you a promotion. Won't he do it? But he sends word by the man of God that evidently you trust because you hear every Sunday. And he sends word, I've got the antidote to your issue. I've got the antidote to your disease. And guess what? It's free, baby. But see, the flesh tells you it ain't free. Well, Mr. Flesh, why isn't it free? Because I'm not, you got to give up some things that. That's why some of us don't experience salvation the way that we should, because it costs too much. But when you get to the point that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you understand that the Holy Spirit, the salvation is free. Shoo, this is what you want for me to be saved? It's gone. I'm done with it. I'm sick of being burnt by it anyway. But if you're still trying to be the carnal Christian, the cute carnal Christian, then it costs too much. What do you do when what God gives you, you don't want? Some of you say, well, I would never not want anything God gives me. Sure you do. You do it every day. You do it every day. You tell him that you don't want what it is that he's trying to give you every day. How many of you read the word every day? And for those that didn't raise their hand, guess what? What you said is, I don't want your word. Don't you ever get this thing twisted. However you view the word is how you view God. Is how you view God. Because God and his word is one and the same. So you can't love God but not love his word. You can't claim to spend time with God but that you don't spend time in his word. And here's one of the problems. Everybody won't pray, but don't nobody won't read. But you know why everybody don't have a problem praying? Because that's connected to begging. That's because you're selfish. Old folk used to say, when you pray is when you are talking to God, but when you read the word, that's when God is talking to you. And the problem is, we too proud, we too cute, we know too much, we too all that to listen to God. I don't really need to hear what God wants to say, but I do need God to know what it is that I need from him. And we wonder why this thing ain't working out. Can I ask, has anybody ever been in a relationship where you got used? How'd it feel? And after a while, when you came to your senses, what you do? You stop letting people use you. That's the beginning of the relationship with most Christians. God be like, I'm going to throw for you because I need you to see. I'm going to throw for you because I need you to see. I'm going to throw a little less for you because I need you to see. Now I'm going to let you do it because you don't seem to see. You see? Whew, Lord, have mercy. But what is the gift of the Holy Spirit and how do we get it? Let's set out to answer these two critical questions. Number one, what is the gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about here is a gift that all of us absolutely need. It's a necessity to live. It's a necessity if we're going to live a normal Christian life. You know what an abnormal Christian life is? One where you claim to be saved, but you keep on sinning. That's abnormal. An abnormal Christian life is where you claim to be saved, but you stay in sin. Lord, have mercy. You notice in the example Jesus gives in verse 11 through 12, the child is not asking for a toy. He's not asking for a stuffed animal. He's asking for food, an everyday necessity of life, a fish, an egg, basic necessities. Everyone knows that food is a necessary source of strength and power. Have you seen those Snickers commercials? Y'all remember those Snickers commercials where you've got some guy and he's hungry and he's complaining and he's not acting like himself or can't do something that he normally can do, like play football, and one of his friends say, "Hey, come on, man. You're playing like Betty White out there. Eat a Snickers." Eat a Snickers. And the guy says, "Why?" And he says, and you remember the tagline? "Because you're not you when you're hungry." Oh, God. Ooh. I didn't even put that part in my notes that came into my mind. You feel that right there? You ain't you when you hungry. That's why you need to stay in the Word. Because what is the Word? The Word is food. And as long as you eat the Word, you won't be hungry. As long as, oh God, as long as you thirst after righteousness, you won't be thirsty. And maybe if we wasn't so thirsty, oh God, let me get back into this thing. I got a board meeting. I ain't got time. Mm-mm. Y'all already don't like me. Y'all already don't like me. Y'all trust me, but you don't like me. Everybody knows that you're not you when you're hungry. You're not you when you know you're starving. You need food for strength. This is a universal principle in our physical lives. It works the same in our spiritual lives as well. Just like a child needs food for physical strength, and so they ask for it, the child of God needs to be asking for the Holy Spirit for spiritual strength and power. Jesus wouldn't have been Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're not you without the power of the Holy Spirit either. Remember when you were on fire for God? Sexy Dex, Thick Shonda, was trying what they was trying. And you was strong in your know, wasn't you? You was on fire for God. In the Word, in prayer, in His presence, on fire. You was being you. This is who I am. The problem was, though, Sexy Dex and Thick Shonda don't go away. And they weight you down, as the Bible says, for a more opportune time. Huh? And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, say, what? With help me, Jesus. Pull it in, Pastor. You find yourself in a hotel with Thick Shonda or Sexy Dex, and all of a sudden you still claim it's saved, but you're doing unsaved things. You've not been in the Word, you've not been in prayer, you've not been in His presence, you've not even been in church, and you sing, you save, but you're acting like somebody. You're not acting like who you are. You see. You might hear. You might hear, I think I'm a believer. Some of you are in here saying, I think I'm a believer. I'm already a Christian. I already have the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to ask for Him again? Notice I didn't say it, because the Holy Spirit ain't an it. It's a Him. Why do I need to ask for Him again? I don't need to put the Holy Spirit on my Christmas list. Look at who Jesus is addressing here. He's talking to the disciples, and Jesus has already told them in chapter 10 that their names were written in heaven. So he's talking to Christians, men and women who are saved already, and even the context of his illustration is of child and his father. So what Jesus is saying is that the children of God need to be asking their heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit. Oh God. Now it's true that every believer once saved has been regenerated. Been regenerated. When you get saved, you get regenerated. Your spirit is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, baptized, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But we need to continually, somebody say continually, continually be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul says to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous verb. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the gift we need. The filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit for everyday Christian life. It's not only a need, it's an ongoing need. Look at it this way. The way the Bible invites us to look at it. Paul compares it to getting drunk. You don't stay drunk for several days. You sober up, right? If you want to stay drunk, what do you need to do? You need to keep hitting the bar. You need to keep hitting the bottle. You need to keep drinking. What Paul is saying is that he knows a much better drink than a fifth of Hennessy. If really you want to let loose and you really want to feel free and you want to be continually joyful no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's happening in your life, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And it's not a one-time thing or one-time need, but it's an ongoing need for this spiritual power. And all throughout the Bible, almost every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, he's associated with giving ongoing, everyday power. That's why Paul says earlier in Ephesians 1 that he's praying that we would know the immeasurable greatness of the Holy Spirit's power for all who believe. It's why he says in Philippians, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. What does that mean? Well, he says in Romans that the same power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. That means the same Holy power, the same power that raised Christ to physical newness of life is raising us to spiritual newness of life. If you're honest today, isn't that what you need? Huh? Be real. Car ain't really what you need. Bigger bank account ain't what you need. New clothes ain't what you need. See, you gotta prioritize your necessities. Don't have a light bill, but go to the mall. If I'm standing in the need and the Spirit of the Lord is here, if I can't overcome sin and sin is going to lead me to a burning hell, what the am I asking for a car for?
I call myself Larissa, don't worry about it. I'm saved on Sundays. Huh? I'm saved, period, because some people will take it. Oh, God. Some people will be like, you know what? Did you hear that? He's just saved on Sundays, y'all. Listen, if I got sin that is dominating my life, and any time that you are dominated, Satan is involved because God don't dominate. It kind of goes against free will. So if I have a sin nature, I'm not going to prayer for a car. And I might need one, but I need the Holy Spirit more. I might need a house. I might need a better job. I might need my kids to get it together. I might need all of these things. But if I got a sin nature, I need the Holy Spirit more. And what we got to stop doing is being concerned with how we look as opposed to how we really are. Don't nobody care how churchy you look. You know, back in 89, you could fake us out with good church clothes. Now we see the hell all over you. Lord, have mercy. Ain't that what you need, though? The Holy Spirit. The power to change from how you are. If you are living contrary to the Lord, don't you need the power to change from how you are? And if you are living for the Lord, don't you need the power to stay living for the Lord? Power to be effective for God. Now, let's be clear what type of power this is. It isn't power to dominate over people. Remember, I said that. You don't get to be saved and be rude. It isn't a power to push people around or to control people. No, it's a power to serve and love people like Jesus did. It's the power to live life God's way. The power to become more like Jesus. Listen, do you need that power to be able to live life more like God's way? Then why aren't we asking for the Holy Spirit? Okay, I won't even ask and put you out there like that. If you're dealing with sin and you want to be saved and you want to stop being dominated by sin, I'm talking to my habitual sinners. You know, I would be the first one in church every Sunday on the altar. They could be practicing. They could be running around here praying. They could be doing whatever they're doing. But I'm on the altar. Lord, I need your Spirit. And if you don't take advantage of the Holy Spirit being able to bring you out of your sin nature, then you like where you are. And that's a question I had to ask myself in prison. Stephen, this is the fourth time that you've been locked up for a long amount of time. Do you like this place? See, of course, you know, you would think I would just say, duh, that's a dumb question. Hold on. If you keep going back, My father, I love that man, but I would have punched him in his face if he was right in front of me that day and ran. He said, I called him, they gave me my time. I got to my prison and I called him. I said, yeah, man, they got me down here. I'm down here in Lee County, man. He said, do you, son, can I ask you a question? Because, you know, he had got himself together by now. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you like boys? I said, what? He said, I'm just trying to figure out, is there something going on? I mean, is there somebody you're trying to get back to? Did you get back to him? Because you got a beautiful woman out here. I'm just trying to figure out why you keep on doing things to put you with boys all the time. I said, okay, so I ain't gay. But why do I keep coming back? Am I all right with prison? Am I all right with being confined? Let me ask you a question. Those of you that operate outside of the Holy Spirit, but you want to be saved, claim to be saved sometimes, and all of that, do you like your heart broken? Do you like your money messed up? Having to redo your credit? Do you like changing your phone number every six, you know? See, we laugh, but the question is, do I? Why do I keep doing what it is that I should not do that's not benefited me? And when it benefits me, it only benefits me for a moment. But the repercussions and consequences are crazy. Why you do it? That's a cold question, ain't it? That's a cold question right there. Why you do it then? Yeah, I was having that conversation last night with me. In trouble again, talking too much, talking slick, in my cave by myself. <You know? laughs> What is wrong with you, Stephen? You keep ending up here. This is not where you're supposed to be after 12. Jesus help. Okay. I'm afraid that far too often we stop at being forgiven. Forgiveness is essential. You can't be reconciled. You can't be reconciled to Him. Lord, have mercy. Let me say it again. You can't be reconciled to God without forgiveness. And praise God, because Jesus died for our sins. We can be forgiven when we receive Him. But beloved, Jesus doesn't just give us pardon to get to heaven. He don't just give us a pardon to get to heaven. He gives us the pardon. Watch this. He gives us power to live for now. The Christian life is meant to be lived now. The Holy Spirit doesn't just bring me through the gate. He brings me down the path. Lord, have mercy. He doesn't just get me started in the right direction, but He goes with me every step of the way. God doesn't just stop at giving you His mercy. He wants to give you His might. He doesn't just stop at forgiving you. He wants to fill you, not just pardon you, but everyday power to face the world, face the flesh, face the devil, face you, to face the power, Lord have mercy, of darkness. He gives you power for a godly life and effective service to others. What is this gift? The ongoing power of the Holy Spirit that all of us need to be more and more like Christ and more effective for Christ. So that's what it is. Now, how do we get it? Write this down. Here's how you get it. You need to believe. Number one, you need to believe. You need to believe. He forgives you. He forgives you. Isn't that hard to believe sometimes? Isn't that hard to believe sometimes? Let's just take a trip down memory lane real quick. Think about your worst moment. Let's take it deeper. Think about your worst moment saved. That's actually worse than your worst moment not saved. Why? Because you knew better. Isn't it hard to believe that he forgives you?
Hiyarabashi.
People that I love don't forgive me. Why would the most perfect entity to ever exist love me? Because he's God. Because you're his. Because it's his nature to do so. This is why Jesus uses this contrast. He says, you know, fathers, how many of you, when your kids ask you for some basic need like food, what father around here is going to say something like, oh, my child, you're hungry. You need some cereal, but instead I've got a bowl of snakes. What father in his right mind is going to do that? Not one. And so Jesus says in verse 13, if you who are evil, who are sinners, who are imperfect, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, think about what the perfect, pure, loving heart of your heavenly father. How much more, right? How much more, he says, will he give the power to those who ask? What was Jesus trying to do? He's trying to raise our faith. And sometimes you don't need faith to get to the mountain. You need faith just to get to receive forgiveness. Did you hear that? See, if some of you could receive forgiveness, it would break you through. Some of you, the problem is not the haters in your life. Satan just has you to believe that. Understand, it's not the financial makeup of your life. Satan just has you to believe that. Because the number one demon, the hardest demon to cast out is the demon of unforgiveness. You remember that? When a little bitty girl came in there and disrupted the whole church, 5 foot, weighed 110 pounds. You remember that, Erica? Threw everybody around, threw big old Delchuk around, threw him around like it wasn't nothing. And we spent 6 hours casting out demons. That's when I found out that they come in twins. I found that out that day. And so I'm having to go back and say it again. We got there and we couldn't get it done. And I called one of my partners. I said, brother, I've been here 6 hours casting out demons out of one individual. What is the situation? He said, you've not tried the demon of unforgiveness. Whew. See, not only are you going to have to believe that God forgives you, you're going to have to forgive. Yeah, there it is. Satan was trying to block me on that one. You're going to have to forgive. Yeah. And it's real easy to talk about, ain't it? But you got to forgive the one that offended you. God, listen, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. I love every one of you in here. You here because you know that. The one that raped you, the one that molested you, the one that stole from you, the one that raped your child, the one that you're going to have to forgive. You don't get no picks on what you forgive. And that's why it is the coldest weapon that the enemy uses against us, the spirit of unforgiveness, because who going to forgive somebody that raped your baby? Bondage broke. If you receive it, bondage will be broken. If you can receive it, bondage broken. You'll smile from your spirit. Receive it. Forgive who offended you. Forgive who broke your heart. Forgive who let you down, who betrayed you, who dogged you, who did you dirty, did you wrong. I dare you forgive them and get free today. I dare you. Some of you been trying to figure out, I got everything I could want, and I just can't smile. I thought after this I'd be okay. Let me tell you something. The Lord is dealing with me about you today. He said, first of all, you need to forgive, and then you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. See, if you're going to really be free, if you're going to operate in kingdom principles and authority, you got to go into the depths and the crevices of the pain. And you got to watch this. And then you got to get in there and you got to look around and you'd be like, I hate you, but I forgive I love you. I don't fool with you, but I love you. You did the worst thing that you could do, but I feed you if you're hungry. Don't call me to talk. We ain't gonna kick it. We ain't friends, but I forgive you. Let me get free for real. Stop patty caking Christianity. He said, if when you come down to the altar, if your brother has an alt with you, stop being selfish. You want people to come and get it straight with you when they've wronged you. Jesus said, listen, don't get it twisted. You done messed around. You done messed some people up too. I'm in a season of my life. One of my daughters in the Lord, she was here for a funeral yesterday, and I saw her. I hadn't seen her in over a year. And I said, baby. And she said, dad. And we hugged. And I said, where have you been? She said, you hurt me. I said, what? She said, we had a conversation, and you didn't like how it went down, and you blocked me. And you know, and I'm not your friend on Facebook, and I just decided I wasn't going to come back because of that. And I said, that ain't why I blocked you. But you see what the enemy showed her? I said, I blocked you because you was talking sinful, and you was talking reckless on social media about something that you know I stand 100% and 10% against. And I didn't block you. I just unfriended you. See, but what the devil will show you, see, he'll take a 6 and make it a 10. So she saw blocking when it was really an unfriending. But what the only blocking that had went on was that thing between Satan that he had put between. But you know what? Instead of unfriending her, I shouldn't have done it. I should have called her and said, come on, we need to sit down and talk. Why are you talking reckless like this? So I said this. I said, and a tear was going down. I said, I'm sorry. I had a talk with this man of God right here, Brother Marcus. I said, I'm sorry. I'm in a season of my life where I'm just saying, I'm sorry. Now get this right. I'm never going to tell you I'm sorry when I'm not wrong.
Come on, Bishop.
Don't ever do that. You set people up for failure when you do that. You make life hard for yourself when you do that, because if you say you're sorry when you're not wrong, then people will expect you to say you're sorry all the time when you're not wrong. And that robs them of the responsibility of getting their silly selves together. So people get upset with me because I don't say I'm sorry. I just say you're oversensitive because I'm not wrong. Why would I say that? But you know why they do that? Because they're used to everybody else doing that. I got to love you enough to stand my ground. If I'm right, I'm right. And you got to deal with that right. Just like I'm going to deal with your right when you're right. And I got to deal. You understand what I'm saying to you? Man, I'm trying to get this thing done. How much time I got? I ain't got none. Can I get 9 minutes? Can we stop at 1:10? Is that all right? All right. Y'all only saying, yeah, because everybody would look at you and be like, no. If you said no, everybody would be like, how you going to say no to the word of God? Y'all really going, 9 minutes. Okay, here we go. Yeah, start saying you're sorry to people. When you know you done them wrong, how dare you walk around and act like you didn't? I've offended you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And if you're anything like me, I want to tell you why I messed up. That don't matter. Because then it ain't sorry. Then it's an excuse. If you're wrong, sorry. I'm sorry. That's it. And anything else is game. And sometimes people, and I'm saying I'm sorry to them, and I realize that's not enough for them, and they want some more. You know what I say? I say anything else I say to you is I'm going to be lying. Now I can talk you out of not being mad to me anymore. I can do that. I can manipulate this situation to where you will walk out of here and I'm your favorite person again. You understand what I'm saying to you? But all I got is I'm sorry. And then I make sure that when I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again. Because if I do it again, then I wasn't sorry. You see what I'm saying? I say, I'll never let you down again. Or I wasn't sorry. So it's got to mean something. My 9 minutes starts now. Okay, so Jesus was trying to convince his disciples that this power is not only available to God, but God is more than willing to give it to us. Shout moment, but don't, because we ain't got too much time. You're not going to ask for something you don't think you're going to get. My daughter comes to me, and she's got a well-thought-out plan. And she's never asked me for anything that she hasn't gotten. She knows what to do. Those grades are going to be on point for that moment. That conduct in school is going to be on point that moment. But check this out. Here's the love of my daughter and I. She could be dead foul, but let it be something she need. And she has the confidence in her father that I know I ain't where I should be. I know I ain't doing what I should be doing, but this isn't a want. This is a need. And she know I got her. Isn't that the beauty of God? I know I ain't where I should be. Oh, God, I know I ain't where he want me to be. But he won't keep his Holy Spirit from me if I'm ready to get it, y'all, Lord. So no one is going to sit down at a restaurant if they don't think they're going to be served. You need to believe. Catch this. Some of you really need to catch this. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say 98% of the people in this building right now, some of you are, you love God. You love the idea of God, but you have never, nobody has ever challenged you to get in God. Tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of you really thought about believing God? You see what I'm saying? Now, here's the problem with that. How you gonna be with him if you don't believe him? And if you've not given thought to, if I believe him, if I believe the word, then how effective are you going to be? More importantly, how is this going to work out for you? See, stop being so shallow. This thing is deep, simplistic, but deep. Do I believe? Huh? Do I believe him? Do I believe that if I live right, there's mansions in a house? Do I believe that? Do I believe that by his stripes I'm healed? I'm gonna tell you something. The most awesome thing Jeff Swain said to me one time. Bless my heart. It was powerful. I've never gotten over this. He said, Miriam, a report came back about Miriam, and I told him before, a couple of nights before, and he says, I'm going to pray. I said, okay. So then I came back a couple of days later, and Miriam had got the report, and it wasn't to our liking. And I told Jeff, and this is why he's my spiritual father. He says this. I said, the report wasn't good. You know what he said? He said, get a second opinion. I prayed. Ain't no arrogance in that. He said, get a second opinion. I prayed. Here's what I never shared with him. My wife would tell you this herself. We did. I said, you know what this joker said? First I was like, who are you? I told Miriam, you know what Miriam said? I'm doing what Papa said. Guess what? The lesions wasn't even there. The lesions. He said, get a second opinion. I prayed. That is called belief. That is called, I know who I serve. So when I pray, and watch this, and what he's saying is, I know my lifestyle. I know my relationship with him. So when I pray, I expect to see. Blew my mind. I said, where does this guy come from? That's why his heart's broken about this church. Because he prays. And what he's learning, because he, you know, I tell people all the time, this ain't pretty church. What he's learning is sin will even get in the way of God. Everybody keep on saying stuff like, well, if God wants it to be, that's not true. People have been in the way since the beginning of time. You see? So his heart stays broken, because he's praying, and he knows that God will, but because the people won't. And you know why you won't? It's not because you're just disobedient. It's because you've never sat down and said, do I believe? The confession that I made, did I mean it? I believe in my heart, if I confess with my mouth Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. Do I believe that? Do I really believe he got up? And you keep on saying stuff like, in your mind, subconsciously, you saying stuff like, ain't nobody around me ever got up, and ain't nobody ever going to get up without Jesus. He's not everybody around you. He's the great I am. You see? So we done learned some things real quick. I'm trying to finish this. You're going to have to forgive. I don't know why I keep looking at it. You're going to have to forgive. You ain't got to take them to lunch. They ain't really even got to know. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then can I go ahead and bless somebody else in here? You're going to have to forgive yourself. Some of you in here hate you. That's why you can't love anybody else. You're not where you want to be. And the reason why you hate you is because you put all of these shallow things contingent, and you've made it your scale of victory in your life, and you just don't like you. And you don't even and you don't like you so much that you don't even think that you can be a better you. So you stay you. Though all the help is available, you stay you, hating everybody else. Especially the ones that's at peace with themselves. At peace in Jesus. How are you going to be a saint hating another saint because they actually saved? I'm just going to run through it. I ain't even going to stop. I'm going to try. Okay, I might stop. It's why the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Because the Spirit of God works through the Word of God to empower the people of God. But the way this works is by personally believing His Word is for you. You got to believe it's for you. You got to believe. Do y'all hear me? How many of you really struggle with that? Tell the truth. This is going to open everything up. How many of you really have a hard time believing sometimes that the Word is really for you? Tell the truth. See, because you begin to think things like, with all I done, all I've been a part of, all of what I said, yeah, right, Mr. Perfect God's got me. Yeah, right, he does. He does. You got to get over that. You got to get some deliverance. Oh, man. Let's go back to the example of drinking and we're out. Here's a guy sitting at a bar. He's got the drinks all lined up in front of him. Now, is this man going to get drunk by just looking at the drinks? Just by knowing that they are there? No, he's got to personally take it in. He's got to personally consume them. And see, it's the same way when it comes to God's truth. In order to be empowered by the Spirit, you've got to believe that all that God has, that God has forgiven you of all of your sins. You need to believe that nothing can separate you from God's love in Christ. You need to believe that God's your heavenly Father who will supply all of your needs. You need to believe that God is working out all things together for your good. You see, no one is going to go to the bar if they don't think they're going to be served, and no one is going to get drunk unless they personally consume what they've been given. We've got to believe. Look at it this way. You could be given checks, 10 checks, $1,000 each, but none of the checks are going to do you any good unless you personally sign your name to them and deposit them into your account. It's the same with the Word of God. You've got to personally believe the lots of God's truth and promises for your life. You not only need to read God's Word to hear God's Word, but you've got to believe God's Word. And you're going to need to pray. It's in everything that you're doing. Ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. Ask for it. We've got to put this not just on as a Christmas list, but on an everyday list. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We've got to ask for this. Are we asking for the Holy Spirit? No, a better question is, why don't you ask for the Holy Spirit? The answer is pride. We've been trained in our Western culture to ask for help. To ask for help is a sign of weakness. But guess what? It is a sign of weakness. But remember what did the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your what?
in your weakness. That's why Paul learned that when I'm weak, then I am strong. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's a humbling thing to ask for some help. Lord, have mercy. But it's that's where God wants us, on our knees in prayer. And even though we might not get what we're asking for, God will strengthen us. You might not get what you want, but what you will get is some strength. Remember Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? The cup wasn't removed from him, but through prayer, it says an angel came to strengthen him. And the same thing with it was the same thing with David. He said, in the last day I called and you answered me. The strength of my soul you increased. You see it? That's it. The power comes through prayer. If you want to stand in power, you need to bow in prayer. You need to believe and you need to pray. And I'm not finished, but I'm wise enough to be done. We'll conclude this next week. Stop thinking that what you've done is so bad that he won't forgive you. Stop letting it be a truth that what was done to you, you cannot forgive. Both are going to keep you in bondage. You want the power of God? You have to sup with God. You have to want to be with God. Every time that you're supposed to come to church and you get this mentality of, I really don't feel like dealing with this today. The question becomes, what if God played us like that? What if God said, you've been dealing with this for years. I really don't want to deal with this today. Huh? Don't you know that the forgiveness is for you? Huh. And get this, if you don't operate in that forgiveness, if you don't receive that forgiveness, the vices that you take on that are killing you out, you will never be able to let go of. Satan has a strategic plan to take you out. It's a reason you get depressed and start eating when you know you shouldn't. You ever had a health diet that you had to keep, or it was you could die possibly, or something crazy could happen to your body, and then all of a sudden hell hits your life, and you don't believe that God's gonna have your back, and all of a sudden you begin to do the very thing that you know will kill you. You begin to eat wrong, huh? Some of us, you know, we get so ashamed of our past, and we've asked God to forgive what we want, and so then next thing you know, we at somebody's liquor store getting drunk. Can't make progress in sobriety, and you're trying to figure out why. It's because you've not received the love of God. The love of God is right there. It's right there. It's for your taking. It's for my taking. But because you won't receive it, you'll take on things to give you temporary feel good. Temporary get you through it. And God is saying, and I don't want to say something about this alcohol, because this is a thing that is plaguing our community. This is a thing that is plaguing this community. The unity community. The Spirit of the Lord is talking. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about that alcohol. You ever ride down past the liquor store? It really ain't called a liquor store. You know what it's called? The House of Spirits. That's why when you drink that alcohol, you turn into people that you wasn't before you drank it. And we made lies about it, and we called it stuff like liquid courage. No, baby, it was just a spirit of perverse carriage. It gave you a spirit of rudeness to say things to people that you wouldn't have normally said. And I'm just being real. No, you're just being rude. And you wouldn't do that when you were sober, because you had enough sense enough to know that was rude. They may have needed to hear it, but how you saying it ain't the way they needed to receive it. They ain't gonna receive it that way. We out here getting high because we will not receive the love of God. And anytime that you receive something over God's love, you don't think God's offended by that? I mean, he put his son on this. He put his son on this to spit
in his face. The Bible says in, what is it, Hebrews chapter 4, it says, it is like nailing him to the cross all over again. This God we love. Listen, beloved. I'm not even having altar call where I'm laying hands on nobody. But I want to open this altar up for everybody in this building, one who hates themselves. You got a real disdain and dislike for you. And you're tired of being this way. You haven't forgiven yourself. You've not let yourself off the hook. And truth be told, and nobody else might not know it, but you know it, and you're tired. The altar is open.